Luke chapter number 1, we've been discovering the sounds of Christmas. There are a lot of different sounds that we associate with Christmas time, and one of them is one that we experienced this week on Monday night, and we were Christmas caroling, and that is to be able to go out and sing some familiar songs, and to sing them to people that are going through some trying times and difficult times. When you're out Christmas caroling, it sounds a whole lot like Christmas. But it sounds like Christmas right here in Luke chapter number 1. An important chapter with regard to the birth of Christ in Luke 1, Luke 2 as well. And full of sounds that we need to consider. We've already looked at the sound of Zacharias' voice in chapter number 1. And that is, the chapter begins after the introduction. It begins with the man named Zacharias, and that is the priest who was in the temple in Jerusalem performing his priestly duties, who got the opportunity to offer the incense. And as he was offering the incense on the one side of the altar, there appeared the angel Gabriel. The Bible tells us that he spoke to Zacharias and revealed to him that his prayers that he had been praying had been heard. And that he and his wife were going to have a son. He was going to name him John, and he was going to be great, and he was going to be the fulfillment of the prophecy from the book of Malachi about a forerunner who would come before the Messiah would come. It's going to be John the Baptist. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, when you hear Zacharias' voice, you'll hear some pessimism in his voice. He couldn't figure out how it was going to happen. The reason why, as you all know, his wife was barren, and now they were past the age of childbearing, and he had some pessimism in his voice. And so the angel announced that he would not speak, and he wouldn't speak until it had been accomplished. And he tied up his tongue around his eye teeth, and he couldn't see anything to say, and he couldn't talk. And if you'll listen closely, Zacharias' voice has no sound, but boy, it sure sounds like Christmas, even though you can't hear what he's saying. Because whenever the baby was born and Zacharias named him John, God untied his tongue, and I'll tell you that he began to speak words of prophecy that are revealed there in Luke chapter number 1, of which we took a little sampling of a couple of messages ago. You'll hear the sound of Zacharias' voice prophesying not only about John, his son, but also the Messiah that he would be the forerunner of, and the great ministry that the Messiah would have, the great redemption that he would provide, the salvation that he would bring. And boy, that sounds, Zacharias' prophecy, listen to his voice, and it sounds a lot like Christmas. There's the sound of Zacharias' voice. We discovered this past Lord's Day, there is also the sound of Gabriel's visit. The Bible tells us right here in Luke chapter number 1, beginning of verse number 26, that not only did Gabriel visit Zacharias in the temple, but he also showed up at a little known, just a little country town named Nazareth. He not only showed up to speak to a priest, but he also showed up here to speak to a little known little girl. Her name was Mary. And the Bible tells us here that angel Gabriel showed up. She was a spouse to a man named Joseph, a young girl. And a spouse to a man named Joseph. She was of the lineage of David, and ladies and gentlemen, he revealed to her that she would be the one that was going to conceive supernaturally. The Spirit of God was going to overshadow her and move upon her, and she as a virgin, not knowing a man, would conceive the very Son of God in her womb. That is, God the Word, who created all things, ladies and gentlemen, was going to become a part of the creation by being conceived in the womb of this woman, developing as a fetus, and ladies and gentlemen, being born in Bethlehem in the city of David. If you'll listen to Gabriel as he announces all of this to this woman named Mary, if you listen to her response to him and the interaction between Mary and the angel Gabriel, you'll find out that it sounds a whole lot like Christmas. Just the sound of Gabriel's visit. But I want you not only to notice with me in chapter number 1, the sound of Zacharias' voice, and not only the sound of Gabriel's visit, but I want you to consider with me for a little while now the sound of Mary's voyage. The sound of Mary's voyage. The Bible begins in verse number 39 telling us about a voyage or a journey that Mary took. Look at what it says. It says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth." We know them already, don't we? We've already been introduced to this couple. And the Bible tells us that it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice, and she said this, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And we'll stop right there in the reading. I want you to consider with me here just the sounds of Mary's voyage. The Bible tells us here that Mary took a little trip. And that is, she traveled to see Elizabeth and Zacharias. You might have remembered when I was preaching about Elizabeth and Zacharias, and we looked at Mary with the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived a son in her old age in verse number 36. He told Mary that. And they were related to one another. The word that is used here is cousin. And we don't know if that exactly means a cousin in the same way that we would think of it today. But they were related. And she went to, after Mary found out that she had conceived by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, then she went to visit Elizabeth. And they went up into the hill country of Judah. She took a voyage to be able to see them. And ladies and gentlemen, it was a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled voyage. What I mean is the Spirit of God moved in a powerful way. Now listen, this is not the temple. This is out in the hill country of Judah. This is not Jerusalem. This is not the grand place and the most revered and respected place within Judaism. It's out somewhere in an unknown area in the hill country of Judah. And I tell you, the Spirit of God showed up out there. One of the things I've been learning about the Spirit of God, and that is that He is not, that God Himself and the Spirit of God is not impressed. He is not impressed with anything that we can build. He's not impressed with any way that we can perform. And He shows up in an atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen, where there are those who are willing to believe. He shows up where people will believe and trust and yield themselves to Him. It might be in a big crowd, but it might be just here where there's just a handful of people at the home of Zacharias and Elizabeth. As far as we know, ladies and gentlemen, there's three adults there. And then two in the womb. But I want to tell you that the Spirit of God showed up in a miraculous way. Where the Son of God, listen, where the Son of God is being exalted and the people of God are believing, the Spirit of God will show up. No matter what the size of the crowd is, it may not be a great crowd in the temple on a feast day. It might just be a handful of people in a Judean home in the hill country. But when the Son of God is exalted, and He is, and listen, when the people of God are believing, the Spirit of God will show up. And that's what's going on here. It is a Spirit-filled meeting and a voyage that she took. And as a result of the moving of the Spirit of God, three things happened whenever Mary took this trip to see her cousin Elizabeth. First of all, John leaped for joy. Look at what the Bible says again in verse number 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house, and Zacharias, house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that is, when Mary began to speak, began to tell, it was more than just a hello, by the way. When the Bible says here that Mary saluted her, it doesn't just mean that she said, "Hey, how you doing?" like we might do at a family gathering. "Hey, how you doing?" and just keep on walking until we find somebody else to talk to. No, the salutation, ladies and gentlemen, is probably much more than that. And that is, when she got there, she probably said, "How you doing?" And they probably talked about how they were doing. And obviously by now, Elizabeth is 6 months along in her pregnancy. And Mary has just conceived. And ladies and gentlemen, they're probably talking about all of these things that have been happening in their lives. They're sharing with one another what God has done. And the Bible says here that saluted Elizabeth in verse 41, it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 44 says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now we know who's doing the leaping, don't we? It's talking about the little babe in the womb of Elizabeth. That is, John the Baptist is already leaping, and the Bible says here that he is leaping for joy. The Bible says here, John leaping in his mother's womb. Now, obviously, it just reminds us, that is this little story about John leaping in her womb, it just reminds us of what we know about the conception of John in Elizabeth's womb back in chapter number 1 and beginning in verse number 5. Let's remind ourselves of what the Bible tells us there whenever Gabriel announced the conception of John the Baptist, and then we can understand how it could be, because this sounds strange to us, does it not, that a little unborn child is leaping in the mother's womb for joy. Now, it wouldn't be unusual for a child at a certain stage to begin to move around in its mother's womb. But this little child's doing more than that. This isn't just sort of the natural movement of a little baby in its mother's womb. But ladies and gentlemen, this little baby's doing somersaults and leaping for joy in its mother's womb. And that's hard to explain until we remind ourselves about what the angel Gabriel revealed about the conception of John the Baptist. Let's go back to chapter number 1 and just remind ourselves of that for just a moment. The Bible says that in the beginning of verse number 11 of chapter number 1, there appeared unto him, to Zacharias, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. And the Bible says that fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink." And listen to this now. Are you ready for this? "And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." The Bible tells us here that John is one of those rare occasions when he was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb. John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit of God. Now we are beginning to get some insight by reminding ourselves of that. We're beginning to get some insight as to what's going on inside the womb of Elizabeth. There's a little baby inside of her womb, ladies and gentlemen, one that God has already put his hand on. There is one that is already filled with the Spirit of God on the inside of her, and that's the reason why that he's leaping for joy inside of his mother's womb. Hey, the Lord Jesus just showed up. He just showed up, ladies and gentlemen, and John the Baptist is already leaping for joy. And the reason why is because he is filled with the Spirit of God. Now, one of the things that we're going to discover in just a moment, momentarily, is not only is John the Baptist filled with the Spirit of God, but I tell you, Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit of God as well. There's a whole lot of filling going on in Luke chapter number 1. There sure is. Now, when John was filled with the Spirit of God, he started leaping for joy. When Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit of God, she started speaking the truth. Now, the reason why John didn't say anything is because he's still in his mama's womb. And he hasn't learned how to talk yet. But I'll tell you, he sure has learned how to leap already. Leaping for joy. That's interesting, the gospel writer Luke. Luke tells us about the leaping infant here in Luke chapter number 1. But when you read the sequel to the gospel of Luke, you'll find out that he tells us about another leaping. Here we see in the gospel of Luke starts off with a leaping infant, but we find that the book of Acts starts off with a leaping invalid. Flip over to the book of Acts. Let me show it to you real quick. In Acts chapter number 3, we're right after the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God has moved, and ladies and gentlemen, the disciples were filled and the Spirit of God indwelled and filled with the Spirit of God, began to speak the Word of God with boldness, and people started getting saved, and great things are happening. And it's all happening in Jerusalem, and a lot of it centers around the temple area. And in chapter number 3, the Bible says in verse number 1 that Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Now listen to me now. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. This man was lame from his mother's womb. Well, the Bible says that this lame man, this invalid from his mother's womb, was carried, They laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. There he is begging for money, and he saw Peter and John about to enter into the temple. He asked them for some alms, and Peter, verse number 4, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us, look at us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said this, instead of giving them money, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, listen to this now, are you ready? Leaping up. Oh yeah, he didn't just get up slowly. Now listen, this is a man who's been an invalid from his mother's womb. He's never walked. But now he leaps up. He stood, and he did something he's never done and didn't have to learn how to do. He walked. And then he entered with them into the temple, went on into the temple area with Peter and John, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that Luke, the gospel writer, tells us about the infant leaping in his mother's womb. But now he's telling us here about the invalid leaping in the book of Acts. Now the reason why they are is because they're full of joy. They are full of joy. And that is in the gospel of Luke, we read about John the Baptist, a man who's never walked yet, but he's leaping. A little infant in his mother's womb. But here we read about a grown man who's never walked because he was an invalid, that's now leaping and walking and praising God. And it's all because of this man named Jesus. It's all because, the reason why John the Baptist is leaping is because Jesus just showed up on the scene at Elizabeth's house. Hey, the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, that the invalid is leaping in Acts chapter number 3 is because the Lord has showed up. Peter and John, filled with the Spirit of God, was the one who announced his healing in the name of Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, he instantly was healed as though he had never been lame, never been an invalid. And he's walking around and leaping and praising God. What looks to me like then, one of the things that characterizes Luke's writings, and those who get in touch with the Lord, those who are touched by him, impacted by him, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that they often do is a little bit of leaping and praising God. Now, I know some of you may be past leaping stage. You might be. Listen to me now. You might be past leaping stage. But John the Baptist hadn't reached it yet. And he's leaping. As a matter of fact, the invalid, the crippled man, was well past being able to leap. He had never been able to leap. Listen, some of you used to be able to leap, but you can't now. He had never been able to, but he is now. Why is he leaping? The reason why is because he's so full of joy on the inside. He's so full of joy that he didn't know what to do except just run and leap. I'm trying to get you to just see what happens when the Lord shows up. Oh, when you see when you see little John the Baptist who's never leaped leaping, when you see this invalid who's never leaped leaping, why are you seeing what it looks like when a person meets the Lord and he fills them with joy? It's a joy that demands to be expressed. And that's why they're leaping. You say, "Pastor, I'd never leap." You just get filled with the Spirit of God. You don't know what you might do. You might just jump up and down and praise Him. You say, "I'd never do anything like that." You just might. That's what's going on here. These folks are leaping for joy. I want you to see that. I want you to see John leaping for joy. The Spirit of God has moved, and you see John leaping for joy. But let's take a look at Elizabeth. While John's leaping for joy, Elizabeth is speaking the truth. The Bible says in verse number 41, once again, back in our text now, in Luke chapter number 1, in verse 41, the Bible says it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary. Mary showed up and started telling Elizabeth all about what God had done, probably telling her all about, based on what we read here, she told her all about the visit of Gabriel, the supernatural conception, all of that. And the Bible says that as she's telling her all about that, the babe leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth, not only is John the Baptist filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb, but Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And as Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says in verse number 42, and she spoke out with a loud voice. Now I want you to picture this scene. John the Baptist is leaping for joy, and Elizabeth is speaking loudly. She's talking loud. You say, well, Pastor, I'd never leap for joy, and I'd never do anything. I'd never speak loud. Matter of fact, I don't like it when people get loud in church unless they're preaching. I don't like them to get loud in church. You wouldn't have liked it at Elizabeth's house. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, she was so full of the Spirit of God that as she spoke the truth, inspired by the Spirit of God and preserved for us in the Bible. And she did it, ladies and gentlemen, loudly. She spoke the truth. You see, what did she speak about? Well, she spoke about the blessings that were before her. One of the things that we find in the Bible, whenever a person is filled with the Spirit of God, one of the things that Luke tells us about in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, one of the things that he tells us about is that one of the things that characterizes those who are filled with the Spirit of God is they're speaking the truth. When a person in Luke's writings, when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, what they do is they begin speaking. They begin speaking the truth. Here we find a mother in waiting. That is Elizabeth, waiting for her baby to be born. A mother in waiting, and she all of a sudden is filled with the Spirit of God and starts speaking the truth. But in the book of Acts, where Luke writes to us the sequel to the Gospel of Luke, in the book of Acts, he writes not about a mother in waiting, but about a church in waiting. And as the church is waiting, it is filled with the Spirit of God and does the same thing this mother does, begins speaking the truth. Look at it with me in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 1 for just a moment. Remember now, Luke is the author of not only this gospel, but the book of Acts, and these are two books that belong together. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 1, and beginning in verse number 4, Jesus, being assembled together with them, commanded them, that is the disciples, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Just like the mother was waiting for the child to be born, he said, wait for the promise of the Father, which saith thee, you've heard of me. Listen to this. For John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So here's what Jesus is saying. And that is, I'm getting ready to go away after his resurrection. I want you to stay right here and wait in Jerusalem. And that is, the Father has given you a promise, and the promise is going to be fulfilled. You wait right here until it is. Just like, hey, just like Elizabeth received a promise from God. The promise is she's going to conceive and have a son. She's conceived, and she's 6 months along. And ladies and gentlemen, she's going to have that baby one of these days. She's waiting for that baby, for that promise to be fulfilled, and John to be born. And now we find here they've got a promise. It's a promise that John the Baptist gave them, a promise that they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Same John the Baptist we read about in Luke 1, reading about in Acts 1. He made a promise in his preaching that they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And here's what he said, wait right here, because not many days, not long, it's going to happen. So they did. They waited. The Bible says in verse number 14 of the same chapter, they continued or waited with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and even Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with these brethren, they're all there. And ladies and gentlemen, they're just waiting. We find here a church in waiting. What are they waiting on? The filling of the Holy Spirit. Just like Elizabeth experienced in Luke 1. And it happened in Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, like as fire, sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, just like we read about John the Baptist in his mother's womb. Elizabeth, ladies and gentlemen, filled with the Holy Ghost, and guess what they began to do? They began to speak. Just like Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, and she began to speak, they began to speak. And they even spoke with other languages or tongues, the Bible tells us here, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And people from all over the world on the day of Pentecost heard the Word of God spoken, ladies and gentlemen, that day. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse number 11 of Acts chapter number 2, it says that they heard them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were in the city of Jerusalem, filled with the Spirit of God, and what were they doing? Speaking. They were talking about all the wonderful things that God had done. And everybody is hearing all about what God did. What I'm trying to describe to you is what happened, ladies and gentlemen, when the church in waiting was filled with the Spirit of God. They began to, just like Elizabeth, they begin to speak. We find that that continues to be a theme in the book of Acts with the early church back in over in chapter number 4, for example, in verse number 8. I want you to see this. I think it's an important truth. The Bible says, then Peter, filled, chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, guess what he did? He said unto the people, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, the paralyzed man, the crippled man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. In other words, Peter, filled with the Spirit of God, and guess what he did? He spoke. And he stood boldly and spoke the truth to the Jewish leaders about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to heal that paralyzed man that we read about in Acts chapter number 3. I'm trying to see a theme. In Luke's writings, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, the response is, the result is, they begin to speak the truth. We see it here in Acts chapter number 4. We see it again in Acts 4 and verse number 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, that is, when the church, after they got done praying, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, what did they do when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They spoke the Word of God with boldness. You see the theme developing in the Gospel of Luke and here in the book of Acts. By the way, you'll see that continuing in chapter number 11. Let me look at that example for you. In Acts chapter number 11, we are in Antioch, ladies and gentlemen, of Syria, and God is moving in Antioch of Syria, and people being saved, not only Jews, but Gentiles are being saved. And the Bible says in verse number 22, the tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came, Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he began to exhort them all, encourage them, and teach them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Why was Barnabas there teaching, sharing the Word of God? Well, the Bible says because in verse 24, for or because he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Barnabas was a man filled with the Spirit of God, and as a result of that, he spoke the truth in Antioch of Syria. Now I could keep going on. But the Bible says in Acts chapter number 13 that indeed that was the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, that was true about the Apostle Paul on the first missionary journey. And that is that God set Paul and Barnabas aside to go on the first missionary journey, and they did. They went on the first missionary journey, and the Bible says in verse number 4, they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed to Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus, the island. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the Word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had John there to their minister, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, listen to this, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, desired to hear the word of God. But there's a man there named Elias the sorcerer. He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now listen to this, verse 9. Saul, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and he said, he spoke. And we know what he said. He said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all unrighteousness, will thou cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And do you know that immediately the Bible says there was a darkness that fell on him, ladies and gentlemen, and he had to be led by the hand out of there because he couldn't see anything at all. This man of God, Paul, spoke the truth. And as a result, this man was immediately blinded. How did he know what to say? He was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm just trying to get you to see a theme in Luke's gospel and the book of Acts. And that is those who are filled with the Spirit of God speak the truth. You say, well, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Listen to me now. One of the things that's going to happen to those who are filled with the Spirit of God is they might be full of joy. So much joy that they start leaping around just a little bit. A joy that demands to be expressed in some way. And the second thing is they're going to speak the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what Elizabeth did. Go back to our text now and let's look at it. In Luke chapter number 1. The Bible tells us there that whenever Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit of God, in verse number 41, and she spoke in verse number 42. She spoke out with a loud voice. And here's what she said. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. All of a sudden now, filled with the Spirit of God, this woman does, ladies and gentlemen, that is Elizabeth, she does what the early church did. And she does what Peter and John did in Acts 4. Hey, she does what Paul did in Acts 13, what Barnabas did in Acts 11. Filled with the Spirit of God, she speaks the truth. You say, what did she say? Well, she spoke about the blessings upon Mary and her baby. First of all, there's the blessing of her position. That is, the Bible says there, blessed art thou among women. But that is, among all the women, among all the women who have been born, this woman has been positioned in a unique position. She is blessed among women. There's nobody like her. There's nobody who's had the ministry that this woman has had. She is a blessed woman, ladies and gentlemen, among all the women. Now, we've already known that, haven't we? We saw that back in chapter number 1 and verse number 28. With the angel, that is the angel Gabriel that came and spoke to Mary, here's what he said in chapter 1 verse 28. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Do you know the angel Gabriel announced that she was blessed among the women? He sure did. We see it here in chapter number 1 and verse number 48. From the words from the mouth of Mary herself, where she said, For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. And ladies and gentlemen, we're still doing it all these generations later, still seeing the blessing of God upon her. And indeed, she is. Why, in chapter number 2 and verse number 22, the Bible tells us there that the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished. After Jesus was born, there came a point at which her purification was accomplished. And so they brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is in the law of the Lord. They would offer to sacrifice either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And the Bible says, Behold, there was a man, you remember him in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Ladies and gentlemen, not only is John filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb, not only is Elizabeth filled with the Spirit of God and spoke, but here we find Simeon also is filled with the Spirit of God as well. And is revealed unto him, verse 26, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit, that is, the Spirit of God led him into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. And here's what Simeon said. He spoke. Remember, he's filled with the Spirit of God, so he speaks. And here's what he said. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And listen to this, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them, Mary and Joseph. And then he said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. A sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Ladies and gentlemen, he's announcing to her that she's a blessed woman. We see it in chapter number 1. Gabriel announced that she's blessed. Mary said that she's blessed. Simeon said she's blessed. And Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, announced that she is a woman who is blessed above all other women. Not only did Mary speak about the blessing of her position, but also the blessing of her baby. Did you see what she said in Luke chapter 1 in verse number 42? She spoke out with a loud voice. And here's what she said, Elizabeth, blessed art thou among women. And notice now, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Talking about the little baby on the inside of her. So now we know what it is that whenever Mary showed up, and the Bible says that she greeted Elizabeth with a salutation. We know what she told her. She told her about that little baby in her womb. And all she announced, that is filled with the Spirit of God, she announced that not only Mary was blessed, but I tell you, that little baby in her womb was also a blessed baby. And I tell you, there are folks that are there who saw that. They saw the blessing. Did you know that the shepherds out in the next chapter, in chapter number 2, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, on the night that he was born, they saw the blessed Son of God. They came to that little stable where he was at, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they met the Lord Jesus as a little infant, a newborn baby, and the Bible says they went out and began to tell everybody about what they had seen and what they discovered. They saw the blessed Son of God. We know that Simeon saw him. He picked him up in his arms as an infant and began to bless God because he had seen the salvation of the Lord. I'll tell you, John the Baptist saw him, ladies and gentlemen. He was baptizing him, and as he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God came down upon him like a dove coming down, and the voice of God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hey, the wise men saw him, and they knew what a blessed son he was. Matthew tells us the story in Matthew chapter number 2. You remember it well. Wise men from the east in a big caravan came. They traveled to the little city of Bethlehem. Jesus was there still. Mary and Joseph were there. They were living in a house by this time. Jesus was somewhere upwards towards 2 years of old by the time they got there. And the Bible says when they arrived in the city of Jerusalem, they were looking for the King of the Jews. And they were asking, "Where is he, this born King of the Jews?" And Herod became troubled, and he brought them for an interview and said, "Who is this King that is born?" And he asked the Jewish leaders, "Where is it prophesied?" And they said, "Bethlehem." And he told them that he would be born in Bethlehem. And the wise men, on their way towards Bethlehem, they're full of joy and rejoicing when they see the star that they've been traveling towards above the little town of Bethlehem that led them to the very house where Mary and Joseph and the baby were staying. You remember the story, don't you? They found the house where they were staying, and the Bible says when they got there, they bowed down, and they, full of joy, they began to worship the little child, Jesus. They brought their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh. Laid it before him, their wealth and riches. They knew what a blessing that little child was. Elizabeth's announcing that little child in your womb is the blessed son, the very one that was promised to Abraham centuries before, that your descendant is the one that's going to bless all the nations. And now here he is, the blessed son, ladies and gentlemen, conceived in the womb of Mary and about to be born. What we're seeing here is Elizabeth, we're listening to Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit of God, speaking words of blessing about Mary, about her position, blessed above all the other women, about her baby, and that is that fruit of the womb is blessed, but also about the blessing of her visit. Look in verse number 43, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Listen to Elizabeth, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever she confesses with her spirit-filled words, listen to what she's saying. As she's saying that this is the mother of my Lord. This is the Lord himself that's conceived in her womb. And what is it that she would come and visit me? What a blessing it is to Elizabeth that she would come to her house and visit her. You hear the humility in her voice? Do you hear the gratitude in her voice? The thanksgiving in her voice? I mean, who are we that the mother of our Lord, that the Lord would show up here at our house? Now, I really like that. And the reason why, because it reminds me of what I was talking to you about a little bit earlier. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord doesn't limit himself. He doesn't limit himself to the high and the mighty, the big and the many. But he showed up at a little house in the hill country of Judah. Not in the temple in Jerusalem, a little house in Judah. You say, well, he was just in his mother's womb, but oh, he's the one in control. He's the Lord of glory. He's the blessed son. And he showed up in that place. And this woman knows what a privilege it is that the Lord would show up at her house. Oh, that we would just know that for a moment. That we would just realize what a privilege it is for Him just to show up at our house. Where we're at. You say, well, it's just us. Listen to me. It was just them. It was just Zacharias and Elizabeth and little baby John in his mama's womb. And all of a sudden, the Lord just showed up. And when He did, John started leaping for joy, and Elizabeth started speaking the truth, filled with the Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, what a blessing it is when He shows up and He begins to visit us. And He will. He sure will. We see the blessing of her position. She's above all women. We see the blessing of her baby. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. We see the blessing of the visit. Oh, what a blessing it is that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me. But let's notice now the blessing of her faith in verse 45, and then I'll be done. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. Here's what she said about Mary, that this woman is blessed. And the reason why she's blessed is because she believed. The idea is this, ladies and gentlemen, is she believed what God said. She believed what God promised. God gave her a promise. And here's what the Spirit-filled words of Elizabeth are saying. Hey, what God has promised, He will perform. And you're blessed, Mary. And the reason why is because you believed. God revealed the promise to you, and you believed it. Remember what God said through the angel Gabriel? And that is, you're going to conceive supernaturally. The only woman who ever did. You're going to conceive supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that child that's going to be born of you is the Son of God. And the Bible says in verse number 38, the Bible says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's the moment, ladies and gentlemen, that she believed. She believed the promise that God revealed through Gabriel, and she surrendered herself to be the very one that God would bring about that promise through. She believed the promise of God. And the Bible says here that Elizabeth is confirming that for her. That is, that she is blessed because she believed that God will indeed perform everything that He has promised for those who believe. Now listen, you ought to hear that carefully. God will perform everything that He has promised to those who believe. Those of you that have believed, you've rested your faith in the person and work of Christ, surrendered to Him. Listen to me now. Those of you that have entered into the realm of faith, you believed on the Lord Jesus, God will perform everything that He's promised. You can write it down. You can bank everything on it. You can rest everything that you are on the promises of God. He will perform everything that He has promised to those who believe. Now the issue is, have you believed? Have you believed what God has said, what He's revealed? Listen, the moment that I believed when God saved me is when I rested my entire faith in what the Bible revealed about what Jesus did on that cross. Now, I wasn't at the cross. I didn't see it with my eyes. I wasn't able to touch it with my hands. But by faith, I believe what God said in His Word. And that is, as a broken sinner over my sin, as lost as I could be, as miserable as I could be, as broken as you can get, with nothing left, I didn't have anything left, I was done. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't promise anything. I had nothing to offer God. And all there was Jesus on His cross, dying for me, promised in the Word. And I just simply believed and rested my faith in what he did. And it was done. It was over. It was finished. Listen to me now. For those who have believed, we have got a treasure of promises that God has promised us. Revealed to us in the same book that reveals to us everything about Mary and the conception of Christ and Elizabeth and John the Baptist. The same book reveals to us all these treasures of promises. And I want you to know, listen to Elizabeth. Everything that God has promised, there will be a performance of it for those who believed. Everything. Now listen, if you'll listen closely to the words of Elizabeth, as she speaks, it'll sound a whole lot like Christmas. It sure does to me. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us and how you're working in us. God, I pray, Father, that you take these words and, Father, I pray that you make them real to our hearts. God, I pray, Father, for those who've never believed, God, who've never come to that point of real brokenness over their sin, lostness before you. God, to that point, Father, where they've truly rested and believed, I pray, Father, that you'll operate upon those hearts and draw those persons to yourself. Save them by your grace. But God, I pray for your people, Lord, that you teach us how to walk by faith, how to live by faith. God, how to continue believing your word and trusting your promises. Because, Father, we have this great assurance by the inspired words of Elizabeth that everything that you have promised, you will perform. God, thank you for just showing up. Thank you for showing up and speaking to us. God, you're not impressed with the large crowds in Jerusalem at the temple, but God, you'll show up in a little house in the hills of Judea. God, just to speak to a couple people. We thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us tonight. We need your blessing. God, just like Elizabeth announced, we need your blessing. Would you bless everyone here at every point of need? Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all.